Welcome to Houseplant Homebody. I'm your host, Holly, and I'm here to tell you all about my favorite things, plants. Are you ready? Hello, hello. Welcome to episode 90, and it is spring blooming bulbs this time around. I wanted to switch it up and do some landscape stuff, so here we are. I'm very excited about this episode because as I speak, my spring blooming bulbs are finally popping up, and actually my daffodils are just budding for the flowers, so they may be blooming soon. And if you're listening later on, it is March 17th that I'm recording this, so pretty good timing. And that is why I'm doing this episode, because you may be seeing stuff pop up and not know what it is, and that is why I'm here. I do have to mention, on the blog, I do have a ton of cool pictures that I've taken over the past, I don't know, several years, maybe 10 to 15 years, but I don't have pictures of every single bulb. I would highly recommend going to Holland Bulb Farm, their website, and if you go to the top of their screen, there is a search bar, and you can type in whatever you want to. And then you can go to the spring blooming or the fall planting bulbs is what it is. And you can type in different kinds of varieties you want or look up the varieties. So I'd highly recommend going there to see all the different crazy varieties that are out there. As a random background thing, since Peter and I moved into this new house, I'm realizing that the noises, I think, are a little more sensitive when I'm recording. So you might hear Peter, my husband, in the background doing things in a different room, or you might hear traffic. Or I realized in the last episode, if it starts to rain, you will hear that. Although it was hailing, it wasn't just rain. So I apologize ahead of time, but that is what my speaker picks up, or my microphone picks up, not speaker. So anyways, I just wanted to say that too. So sorry in advance if you hear anything, but it is what it is. Okay. So this episode and blog, I wanted to dive into specifically cold weather spring blooming bulbs. So these are bulbs you're going to plant in fall. They need all winter to kind of cure, for a lack of a better term, and then pop up in spring. So I won't be including plants that you'll be planting in spring with fall blooms or summer blooms necessarily. There's one in here that's late spring kind of summer blooming, but I kind of put it in the spring category anyways. So just to let you know, that'll be someday a later episode that I'll do. And I didn't include any of these instructions for warmer climates at all. So this is going to range between hardiness zone 3, even up to 8 or 7 for a lot of these. But it's strictly specific to zone 3 to 5 is what I wanted to call out, because I'm currently in zone 5. And obviously I prefer to plant a bulb that can survive in a little bit colder. So 3 to 5 is usually what I'm looking for when I'm planting, because 5 is kind of on the edge. Anyways, if you need to learn more about that side of things, you can listen to the landscape side, the landscape episodes that I've done in the past. So anyways, that is what we're going to cover. I'm going to briefly go into some couple of tips that I have, but I am diving in individually to each different plant this time around. And I have all of this information on the website as well, along with pictures for most of them. So I'm going to go kind of in order of bloom time for these plants that I have chosen. I know I am missing some plants, so no worries. This isn't the end all be all. These are just the most commonly found. And if you're searching them online, this is what you're going to find most of the time. Or if you're looking at your local garden center at the bulbs they have available to plant for fall, this is what you'll find. All right, so we're going to dive right into it. So the earliest bloomer that I've seen in the past is crocus, has been the one that pops up the earliest and actually flowers the earliest. Hardiness zone is around 3 to 8, kind of depends on the variety sometime. You're going to hear me say depends on the variety like probably 50 times today. But you will be planting these in fall when the temperatures drop, so it can't be too warm when you're planting these spring blooming bulbs. You got to wait till they're a little bit colder. Usually you're looking at November timeline, since it has been kind of warmer into October for the most part. You want to make sure the ground is going to be cold, it's not too warm, it's not going to rot them or anything like that. So waiting too far into November is probably a no-no, so I'd stick to probably end of October, beginning of November is probably the best time to plant them. Maybe October in generally, but it kind of depends on how the weather's going. Based on how it's been going, October to November is fine. So these you plant about 2 to 3 inches deep. Spacing is usually 3 to 4 inches apart because they kind of cluster when they grow and kind of become sort of like a flowery mound in a way. Crocus usually stick to a few different colors. They're usually purple, blue, yellow, or white, and typically a mixture. You're not usually going to find them as a solid one color. Usually it's like purple with a yellow inside or something like that. So those are the basic colors of them. I'm sure there's crazy varieties out there, but most of the time that is what you're going to find. Sizing wise, they're known to be very short too. So they're kind of like a cute little bulb ground cover in a way. And they're typically going to stay at or below 6 inches tall. So very, very short, very adorable. Their bloom time is obviously early spring because they're the earliest things popping up. And then they prefer to be in full sun, or they can tolerate partial sun too. You're going to get the best blooms probably in full sun. And they are perfect for a pollinator garden and a cut flower arrangement. I say that because I found that on a couple websites, but honestly, I feel like it's too early to be good for as a pollinator garden situation, to be quite honest. Maybe late spring it may make sense, or it just helps bees as they're trying to get out. I don't know. And then the cut flower arrangement, the flowers are pretty short, 6 inches tall. So it's going to be a small arrangement, but they do work well because they are on individual little stems, kind of surrounded by what looks like grassy leaves. So that is crocus. They're really cute. They look like similar to what a tulip looks like, opened up more, maybe with less petals, but they do kind of look in that realm of it. But they're cute. Highly recommend them. We had them at the garden center I worked at, and that was the sign that spring was finally approaching and we were getting out of our fourth winter or whatever it always is. So that's crocus. So the next one, I haven't experienced myself necessarily. I haven't planted it, I haven't used it, haven't really seen it growing on its own, but I have heard of it and I have learned about it. It's called squill, or aka scilla. The hardiness zone is 3 to 9. You are planting this in fall, obviously, about 2 to 3 inches deep, and spacing is about 2 to 4 inches apart. The actual mature size and the blooms totally depend on the variety, and the color depends on the variety. So I know that's very vague, but I'll give you the vague range of what it would be, which would be probably at most 8 inches tall, but it's probably staying closer to the 4 to 6 range. They're pretty short. And typically colors that I have seen is more of the purple, blue, and white phase of life that they're in. I haven't seen a ton of colors beyond that, but could be wrong. Could be other varieties out there. The bloom time is early to mid-spring. It can tolerate full sun requirements, so I wouldn't necessarily put this in a partial or a full shaded area. It's not going to do as well. It's probably not going to bloom as well. And this is perfect for mass planting. Similar to the crocus, it grows very low and kind of compact, and it kind of spreads a little bit more than a crocus does. So perfect plant for a little low area. You need something blooming. Kind of like, I don't know if you guys have seen or used creeping phlox at all. It's a perennial that stays very low when it kind of spreads. It's going to kind of act like that. Maybe not be as clumpy as the creeping phlox, but the way it grows, it could be something like that. So it might be a cool plant to be planting within a ground cover or next to a ground cover or slightly behind a creeping phlox or something that grows a lot lower. That way you do have blooms, but it's not going to be in the way of those extra perennial blooms later on when they come around. Okay, the next one, which of course we're going to go into the classic ones next, is a tulip. So tulip hardiness zone is usually 3 to 7. And it is fall planting. It's a little bit deeper. You're going to plant this about 6 to 8 inches deep. Spacing kind of depends on what you're looking at, but usually 4 to 6 inches apart from each other. Obviously, mature size kind of depends on variety too, but normally you're looking at, I've seen as low as 12 inches, and as I'm looking online, I see as tall as 22 inches tall. You can find tulips in literally almost any color imaginable, in different pattern textures, different mixtures of colors. It's insane the amount of tulip varieties out there. Because of that, that can vary the hardiness zone on the different varieties. In my experience, these blooms tend to not work out as well, at least for where I am and what I've experienced. It almost feels like they bloom every other year sometimes, and they're not as reliable as some of the other plants that I have. Could this be a lack of fertilizer or something? Absolutely. Lack of sunlight, probably. But tulips is the only thing that I've really had a difficult time with, quite honestly, which is crazy because they're so common and there's so many varieties, you think they'd be easy to grow. This might be a Holly problem, just letting you know, but just telling you my experience. The bloom time on this is usually early to late spring. It ranges depending on variety. Like I said, you're going to hear that 50 times today. And they prefer to be in full sun, potentially partial sun, but honestly, I'd keep them in full sun because that's going to allow the blooms to be the best. And these are perfect for cut flower arrangements. Now, also in my experience, tulips do really well in cold water. So if you do bring them in, obviously it depends on what other flowers you are putting with them. But if you just have like a bouquet of tulips, put them in like ice water. They really like cold water. It's going to help them survive longer. All right, we're going to take a short break and then we're going to jump into probably another third of them. All right, now we're going to talk about daffodils. Daffodils are beautiful. They are the quintessential classic bulb, I think, besides a tulip. Their hardiness zone ranges from 3 to 8, typically. You're also planting these a little deeper, 6 to 8 inches in spacing. Depends, but it's 4 to 6 inches apart. The maturity size also depends. Ding, ding, ding. Never would have guessed. It stays between 12 to 20 inches tall. The kind of a big range, but that's kind of what you're looking at. They're not usually too tall, but that is what it is. And then daffodils, from what I've seen in the past, are usually staying in the yellow, orange, I guess pink, but it's more of a peach range, and white. And typically, you have a mixture of them. Obviously, I've seen solid yellow ones. I've seen solid orange ones before, or more peach ones, I guess. You've seen them with double flowers, so there's multiple petals, multiple different kind of clusters of petals. So lots of cool varieties out there, but it is a classic. The bloom time is early to mid-spring. It prefers to be full sun to partial sun, which I've had them in both, and they do very well in both for me. And obviously perfect for cut flower arrangements. This is, I think, the most reliable bulb in my experience. Obviously, not everybody has the same experience, but this is the one where I have to do literally nothing. It comes up early and on time every time. It's usually not growing a ton from a width perspective or anything like that. It kind of stays pretty compact on where it is, but it is very pretty, and they do last just for a little bit. So, love the daffodil. The next one is hyacinth. Quite honestly, hyacinth is one of my favorites. Every time I look at it, you'll have to see the pictures that I have on my blog post, but I just want to like hold on to it. It looks so fluffy with the way the flowers are blooming. It just looks like a little pom-pom, like a columnar pom-pom. That's not a great way to describe it, but anyways, hyacinth, gotta love it. The hardiness zone is 4 to 8, obviously planting in fall. About 4 to 6 inches deep and spacing about 6 to 8 inches. Again, mature size depends on variety, but you're looking at 8 to 14 inches tall. Usually I see about 8 to 10 inches tall. That's usually what the size you're going to see. You're really sticking to pink, purple, blue, and white, or a mixture. Once in a while, you'll find a yellow, but probably not in your normal garden center hunt, but online you may be able to find yellow. They're blooming mid-spring, and they prefer to be in full sun and partial sun. I haven't really experienced these in person, me personally planting them, but when I was at the garden center, these were in full sun and doing very well. These are really good for cut flower arrangements. Now, again, they can be a little bit shorter, so I'm not quite sure how great they'll be for cut flower, but they do grow on their own stem, obviously, and they are fragrant. It's one of the few that are fragrant, and depending on the variety, because there are some double flower hyacinth out there, some are good for pollinator gardens. Obviously, I think certain times in spring it might be a little early for pollinators, like I said earlier, but I feel like mid-spring, depending on when you think spring is, could be the start of that. So, moving on to the next one. The next one is called Muscari, which is commonly referred to as hyacinth also, but there is a big difference between the two of them. And it's just the flower size, the plant size, and kind of what the individual flowers on the plant look like. They're all very different, but the kind of shape of the growth is the same. There's just a big size difference between the two. So the hardiness zone is 3 to 8, obviously fall planting, 2 to 3 inches deep, 2 to 4 inches spaced. The mature size of these is stays around 4 to 8 inches. It's going to grow similarly to your scilla and your crocus and how it stays a little bit lower, and then the kind of the flowers pop up. They kind of have a triangular shape. I don't know how the best way is. If you guys know what foxglove looks like, the perennial, the way it grows, I guess like a liatris also, but more of a triangular shape, a little bit wider at the base. Also similar to hyacinth, but they look like they have little tiny pebbles. Not pebbles. Like nerds, almost. They look like they have nerds, like the candy, all over them as flowers. So that's really fun. And the colors range depending on the variety, but you're typically going to stay in the commonly known pinks, purple, blues, and whites, and a mixture. This plant can actually tolerate lots of different sun requirements. So online, multiple sources, full sun to full shade. I wouldn't say full shade, but like a good amount of shade. Don't put it in the deepest, darkest corner of your yard. But they do well in a lot more shade than you'd expect. And they are good for cut flower arrangements. Again, the website said that. Honestly, they're really short though, kind of like the crocus. So I don't know how successful they would be as a cut flower because they are so short. They'd be a tiny little arrangement, but you never know. Maybe put it in a cute little unique votive. Just have a couple flowers in there. That would be cute. So that could work. So that's Muscari. We're going to take a quick break and then move into the rest of them. And then I've got some information about fertilizer, a couple tips, and the Instagram Q&A. All right. Next one. I had to look up how to pronounce it exactly, but Fritillaria. Hardiness zone is 4 to 8. Quite honestly, I know what these look like. I have seen them in the garden center. I've seen them outside. I've seen them blooming, but I didn't know what the name was. So Fritillaria is what it is. These are obviously planting in fall, 6 to 8 inches deep, spacing a little bit larger, 10 to 12 inches apart. The mature size strongly depends on the variety because there are a couple different forms of this. There's a bell form that is very much like a foxglove perennial. And then there is kind of, well, the best way I can describe it is there's a, I think it's called a hellebore, is a type of perennial that blooms super early in spring, like almost late winter. The way the flowers kind of hang over, that's what it looks like, but not such big flowers. That one is a lot shorter variety, and the bell variety is a lot larger. So there were a couple highly different varieties out there in this kind of plant family. So mature size totally depends. The colors, kind of every color for the most part, purple, pink, yellow, orange, white, kind of a mixture. I was seeing the yellow and orange for the other variety versus the bell was mostly the white, purple, and pinks. So depends. There's also kind of a mixture as well. Blooming, both of them bloom mid-spring. Both of them can handle full sun and partial sun. And the bell variety specifically is great for a pollinator garden and the cut flower arrangements because they are taller and they kind of have obviously the bell flower look to them. So that is Fritillaria. Let's move on to Allium. Allium has been popping up as one of the more common perennials in bulbs, at least in my experience. I think the Allium, or at least the perennial version of the Allium, one of the varieties was award-winning for like the best perennial or kind of the perennial of the year when I was working at the garden center probably about 5 years ago, maybe a little bit less than that. The hardiness zone on the bulbs is 4 to 8 inches. Oh my God, I was skipping. 4 to 8 hardiness zone. The depth you're going to plant these is about 4 to 6. The space super depends on the variety. So you have your what's literally called a gigantum allium. That's going to have a lot bigger space. There's also gladiator allium, which is a more recent, very popular variety too. Stays a little bit smaller than the gigantum. The actual color of these is going to stay within the whites, purples, and pinks, and sometimes a blue hue, I guess. So if you want to know more about allium in general, I did a podcast episode on these guys in the very beginning. It might have been one of the 5, 6, 7 episodes. So you can learn more about them there. And I did go into the bulb information too, but obviously I got to review it here. It's the best spring blooming bulb. Not the best, but it is pretty cool. It's also one of those that's fantastical, like Horton Hears a Who kind of situation where you feel like a little town is screaming at the top of the flower. I digress. So these prefer to be in full sun or partial sun, and they are perfect for pollinator gardens, and they are perfect for cut flower arrangements, and they're actually really good for being dried and using them later on if you want to keep them. I don't know if I said this. I think I skipped over it. It blooms late spring, so it's one of the later blooming bulbs for sure, which I tend to believe it would be better for pollinator gardens at that point. Okay, we're moving on to the next one, which I think might even be a little bit controversial, but the last two, I know what these are. I know them very well. I was always seeing them sold as a perennial in a pot with soil, not as a bulb necessarily. So that's why to me they're controversial, but they're not. They are sold in bulbs. So we're talking iris. We're talking a Dutch bearded sweet iris, whatever you want. The hardiness zone is 3 to 9. You plant these in the fall, and it totally depends on the variety for the depth and the spacing. But the depth is not going to be as deep as some of the other bulbs because these guys are super hardy. I mean, super hardy. Hard to get rid of hardy. The mature size and the color also totally depends on the variety. You can find iris. Now, hold on. I said for tulips, you could find tulips in almost every color. Iris, you can find in literally every color imaginable. I looked it up. They come in pink, red, yellow, orange, peach, green. Yes, green. I found them in blue, purple, white, speckled, anything. Anything you could imagine. The actual petals on the edge of them are also very different too. Similar to how iris have different types too, like the double bloom or like the scalloped edge or the fringed edge. Iris have it too. So, bloom time. Usually early to late spring, and then full sun to partial sun. These guys are resilient though, so I have no concerns about the partial sun side of things. Perfect for pollinator gardens, very true, and cut flower arrangements. By experience, I've cut these before because my mother-in-law has some in her yard, pretty like light lavender purple ones that worked very well. So I don't know about your guys' opinion of iris, but a long time ago, I'd say about 7, 8 years ago, I did my aunt's landscaping with my husband at the time, just boyfriend. And she lives in Idaho, and we went out there and the goal was to move a ton of iris, and iris spread. If you don't know that, iris like spread and clump, and they're super, super hardy. So if you want to plant an iris, just be prepared to have many of them and make sure you have the space for them. Just a heads up. All right. And then the last one we're going to talk about is lilies. So this was my other controversial one because I also always saw this as a perennial in a pot with soil. Eventually, obviously you're going to plant these in soil and obviously they're going to end up in that kind of environment. But at least at the garden center, we never sold lilies as bulbs and we never sold iris as bulbs. Now, if you go to like Stein's here or you even go to Walmart or Home Depot, you're going to find these sold as bulbs, but in my experience, I never experienced them as bulbs before. So we're talking Asiatic tiger, martagon, foxtail, and oriental, just to name a few types of lilies. There are a ton out there, but hardiness zone is 3 to 9. You're gonna plant these around 6 to 8 inches deep. Spacing totally depends on the variety. The mature size totally depends. Usually you're going to see lilies as a pretty tall plant, pretty tall bulb. I've seen some that were like 6 feet tall, but I've seen some that are only 2 feet tall. So, I mean, they're going to be normally on the higher side of what a lot of bulbs are going to look like. You can find lilies in almost any color possible, literally any color, and a lot of different mixtures too. So it's also a very exciting plant to have because they're just so unique. They look tropical almost. So for somewhere like the Midwest that we don't have a lot of tropical looking plants in general, unless they're in your house for the most part, this was a great one to have. The bloom time is late spring to midsummer. I would say most of the time it's going to be summer, but I wanted to include it because some random varieties had late spring on there. And then it prefers full sun, can tolerate partial sun, but to be quite honest, in my experience, I would keep it in full sun if you can. And then these are perfect for cut flower arrangements. I would be sad to cut these flowers off, but I mean, listen, they sell lilies like this all the time in the store, so it would be, they are very pretty. Some of them are really fragrant, so if you're a little sensitive to that, be careful about that. So those are the different varieties that I wanted to talk about and go into detail about. When I post about this on Instagram and Facebook, comment and tell me which one's your favorite or which one you've had trouble with or which one you've had great success with. I want to hear from you. My personal favorite is probably hyacinth. Oh man, it's like picking a child. My opinions have changed over the years. I love tulips, but I've been jaded by the fact that I have a hard time with them, or at least I have had a hard time with them. Since we bought a house, I do plan on planting them and trying it again. But I think crocus have like a place in my heart because they come so early, and I think they're really cute. But hyacinth and muscari are probably my favorite. Just because hyacinth, I just want to hold it. It looks so fluffy. And muscari, it looks so whimsical. I do really like allium because of the whimsical side. Okay, you know what? If I have to pick one, hyacinth is going to be my favorite. Because they're just so fluffy looking. Okay. Let's move on to the other tips, which I only have a couple. And the Instagram Q&A, and I do have some flower bulb companies and websites attached to the blog for you to reference. All right, so I don't have a ton of tips because it's very dependent on the actual bulb and your environment. So, for example, if you live in a warmer climate, like you live in the zone 7 or 8, there could be a chance that these bulbs might not bloom because it didn't get cold enough in the winter. I know that sounds crazy, but they do need their time to sit in the cold weather in order to produce the blooms. They need to kind of be frozen to kind of regenerate themselves. There are better ways to say that. I understand that, but that is the way I'm saying it. So there's that chance. Or you go the opposite and it's too cold and you could have problems. You could die off. They could, you know, mold, they could rot. There's a lot of different factors like that. I would go with something that definitely has the range of kind of where you're at. So if you're in range 5 like me, a lot of these bulbs are pretty good. I would say I didn't even include anything that had a 5 on purpose. Look at that, I'm ahead of myself. But if there was a bulb that was range 5, or if there's a specific variety of tulip that was range 5, I wouldn't be planting it. If I would plant something like that, there's a couple things you can try to do. I personally would be putting mulch on top of it in the winter. This helps stabilize the soil temperatures and allows for the ground to be really cold and stay cold. Or if it's going to be warm, stay warm. It's the fluctuating temperatures in the thawing and freezing that becomes a problem, not only for bulbs, but for perennials and shrubs and other plants like that, other more sensitive plants like that. So that's why a lot of times butterfly bush around here has a lot of problems. So just as an example, but you can also try fertilizer. So in my experience, a lot of the people that I worked with in the garden center didn't use fertilizer. We had it available. We sold very little of it. If you're having problems with your bulbs and you're not sure why, maybe that's the next step to try. along with either like a covering or something like that. So I personally would recommend Espoma's Organic Bulb Tone. Espoma is one of those brands that I always use in the garden center and I've always loved it. I linked my Amazon affiliate link in the blog. So if you plan on buying fertilizer and plan on buying that fertilizer, it'd be very much appreciated if you use that link. And then the other tip I have is the only thing that I kind of do for bulbs is I leave up the green. So once the flowers are done or you cut the flowers off, don't cut back the foliage. Cutting back the foliage doesn't allow kind of the energy to go back into the bulbs. And I know that sounds woo-woo, but it's not. There is an actual point to leaving it up of allowing that energy to kind of soak back into the bulb, for lack of a better describing it, and allow it to restore its energy for the following year. Restore its energy, I guess, for the following year. So once your daffodils are done blooming and you don't want the ugly leaves up, suck it up. Keep them up, because that's going to help the flowers the next year produce again. Okay, so the bulb flower companies, like I said in the beginning, Holland Bulb Farm is a classic. That would be the first place I would recommend out of any of the other ones I recommend on the blog post. But then Burpee, which is a seed company originally, also sells bulbs, which highly recommend, vetted. The other three I've heard of, have not experienced them. So Eden Brothers, Brex, and American Meadow. American Meadow for sure sells perennials and shrubs and other things too, but they do have a bulb side of things, which I included here. So I would start with Holland Bulb Farms. You can buy directly from their website. Currently, they have sales going on, but I believe they ship later because it's kind of like a pre-sale, so, or pre-order. So Holland is definitely where I'd start, and then you kind of get an idea of like all the different varieties that are out there. All right, now we're jumping into the Instagram Q&A. Remember, I put kind of something up on the story every once in a while, but directly after I release the podcast episodes, usually the first time it comes up, about what the next episode is. And if you listen to the very end of the podcast, you hear it a little bit in advance. So Instagram Q&A, I got one question and kind of one statement slash question. But not only do I want questions, I want opinions. I want to hear what you like, what you dislike, and I want hot takes. If you are like, I hate bulbs, and that's all you want to say, I want you to put that down, because I want to be like, okay, let's dig into this. I wonder why. Here are some factors. Or you just hate them. That's fine. Cool. So I want everything. I want to be able to talk about it. I want to be able to talk to you. I want you guys to be able to listen to what I have to say about it, or not. Or you can argue with me about it too. That's cool too. Anyway, okay. The first kind of statement slash question is, I love daffodils, but I only have had one actually bloom in 6 seasons. I only get leaves. So I think I actually briefly talked about some issues that might pop up in the other tips, but few things. So I actually know the person that put this question in. So it could be a little too warm to produce blooms where they are, based on what I know, but that may not be it. It could be lack of sunlight, but honestly, I really don't think the sunlight part of it is going to be the main factor, unless there's super lots of shade or something like that. Because again, these can do full sun to partial sun. Daffodils can. Could be too much moisture, but if it's too much moisture, more than likely you're not even going to get leaves. So I honestly think it's the environment. So I would recommend covering the ground with either a layer of mulch or something to stabilize the ground during the winter time. So when it is cold, it will stay cold and it will keep it cold and produce the blooms. I would also, if you haven't done it already, recommend using a fertilizer. Obviously, people don't use it very often, but if it's going to push those blooms out for you, it's just one extra thing to help you. So you don't have to use fertilizer that I use. There's a few others out there, but this one is specifically for bulbs that Espoma Bulb Tone is what I'd recommend. So those are some tips on what could potentially be happening. I almost wonder if it's it doesn't get cold enough in the winter for it to kind of restore its health. Also, if you cut back the leaves, don't do that. Leave those up. That's another thing you could do too. All right. Next one is, best spring blooming bulbs for Midwest weather. So I would say all of the ones that we talked about today are great options. Depending on where you are, though, that varies. So where I am in Wisconsin, Specifically, I would say crocus, daffodils, iris, and muscari have been the most consistent and the most dependable for me. Tulips do come up pretty frequently. I've seen places in Illinois have like a tulip farm that have like a ton of tulips. So they do, I think they do a lot better south of me. But in my experience, daffodils and iris, classic. You just, for the iris, again, just make sure you have the space for it and you're ready for it. And if it becomes a problem, you're going to have to keep maintaining it every year. Because they do grow rapidly and they spread. And if you're okay with that, go for it. So that's what I would say. I think the most common bulb is probably a tulip and a daffodil in general. And then allium is one of those very popular up and coming ones. But like your oldie but a goodie is like your crocus, your hyacinth, and muscari. The other varieties I've talked about on the episode, I just haven't seen as much. So the Scilla, the Fritillaria, even lilies. Lilies are pretty popular, but they're kind of like an oldie but a goodie too. So that's what I would say for the best spring blooming bulbs and classics. Well, I hope you enjoyed this episode. It was very fun doing some research and learning a little bit more about it. I'm excited to jump into maybe the fall blooming bulbs or even summer blooming bulbs coming up too, so we can dive into that and see what's out there and you can plan ahead for the future. So remember, these bulbs will be sold at garden centers in the fall. So you're going to be seeing them blooming now, but you're not going to be able to plant them or probably buy them until the fall. Just remember that. Okay, hope you enjoyed this episode, and I'll talk to you later. Well, hello, hello, me again. I just wanted to remind you of a few different things that I feel like I haven't delved into in the end of the last few episodes. So, you know what's really super helpful to me and people finding me is rating and reviewing and commenting on the podcast episodes or blog posts, Instagram posts, saving Pinterest pins that you might come across for House by Homebody, all that good stuff. But rating and reviewing the podcast is really important to keep the podcast going and to keep people finding it. So if you have the time to rate and review, I really, really appreciate it. And then if you don't follow me already, I mean, where are you? House by Homebody LLC is where you're going to find me on Instagram, Facebook, and Pinterest. I'm most active on Instagram for the most part, but kind of the same posts go to Facebook. So I guess I'm active on both, but I'm usually replying on Instagram more than anything. But I still see your messages on Facebook too and reply. If you want to support Houseplant Homebody even further, then there's a couple things you can do. I have a supporter program, I guess you can say. It's a monetary contribution to kind of help the business run. It spans anywhere from $7 a month to $20 a month, depending on what level you can do. It gives you extra podcast episodes. It gives you early release of the podcast episodes. And depending on the level, it gives you merch. So, or a discount on merch as well. Speaking of, that is the second way to support House by Homebody is merch. I have it online and available right now. Actually, I have a few new designs that I pulled up and I have it all ready for you. There are usually limited quantities of each size, so just be prepared. You may see the size sold out that you want. But currently, the crew necks that I have available, crew neck sweatshirts, are really cute. It is, they say, in my plant and coffee era. And then I have a in my plant coffee and books era. Those crew necks specifically actually shrink a little bit when they dry. So you may want to size up on those. At least when I dried it, it seemed like it got a little bit smaller. And then a few more things. So I have a newsletter that comes out quarterly. The next one is coming out in May. And if you haven't signed up for that, I highly recommend it. Usually I do them kind of as a seasonal thing. So this one will prepare you more for spring into summer and what you should be looking for houseplants, tips and tricks, different adventures you could go on, products you can buy, all that good stuff. And then in the next 2 weeks, the next episode I'm going to be doing is Calancho, which who knows if I pronounced that right. We're going to find out. But Calancho is kind of a houseplant. But I feel like it's one of those plants you buy for someone as a housewarming present, or even like, you know, a get well flower, or like a hey, you're a really good friend kind of flower, or, you know, like, I don't know, you get for your significant other. So we're going to dive into that a little bit and see if we can actually keep growing it in our house. I feel like it's a throwaway plant. A lot of people don't keep them because they're a little bit more difficult, and the point of them is the blooms. So we're gonna dive into it. But you can find all of the links that I talked about, whether it's the supporter website, social media, all that good stuff, in the show notes to this episode. So I really hope you enjoyed this spring blooming episode, spring blooming bulb. Oh my God, episode. It's very, very fun. I really enjoyed getting back into landscaping, and I'm excited to continue going into that. After the Calancho episode, we are going to do a landscape shrub, which is very exciting, forsythia. I think I said that in the last episode. See, this is why you listen to the end. You get these little tidbits, and then we'll jump back into another type of houseplant sort of thing. So, hope you enjoyed the episode. I'll see you on social media. Have a wonderful week, and I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.